That's Anvis Aryavong, Program Manager for the Street Outreach at Agate Housing and Services in Minneapolis. His team works out of an administrative office two blocks from the site where federal immigration officers killed Alex Pretty. Also in that immediate area is a new shelter and supportive housing space by a different organization called Simpson Housing Services. It just opened this month, and it's been years in the making. Simpson's Associate Director Wendy Wiegman joins me now. Thanks for your time this afternoon, Wendy.
Thank you, Nina. It's great to be on.
So your organization is just opening this space over this past month in this area where Alex Pretty was killed and where there's been all of this heightened presence of federal law enforcement. What has that been like?
It's been amazing to open this new building. It's been 7 years in the making. We embarked on this process back in 2019 to rebuild our shelter on this site and have an intentionally designed safe space for people to be. And it's been hard. We have been a part of the Whittier community for 45 years and have just really shared in both the trauma and the healing that's been happening in our community in the last weeks and months.
So we heard about in the clip that we played right before we spoke with you about some of the impact on outreach to people outside. What impact has it had on your work as a shelter and a supportive housing organization?
I mean, I think it goes without saying that the folks that we are serving both in housing and in our shelter are impacted by the law enforcement activity. I think people that have experienced homelessness and who've been unhoused are really no stranger to instability and fear and trauma. And this just elevates this. Our goal is really to create housing opportunities and this shelter that we just opened to offer safety and healing and opportunities for growth and transformation. And that's really our goal.
Do you hear stories from people who are coming in about any experiences that they have had related to any federal immigration enforcement or agents? I mean, a few minutes ago, we heard a story about the health effects of tear gas. Is that something that you're seeing with people who come into the shelter?
Yeah, I think everyone has been impacted by this. And I think we're just continuing to try to create a safe place for people to be. I think a lot of folks in both our housing and shelter are staying in. We're glad to be able to offer this shelter that has a place where people can be and be safe inside in these times.
Let's talk about the new space and the new building, because I know obviously all of this is happening with the federal law enforcement presence, but your work was going on before and will continue to go on, obviously. So I do want to ask you about just the new building. How many people are you able to serve there?
Yeah, I think this has been just the very hopeful part in this time, is that we have been working really hard on this building. So Simpson, we began back in 1982 as part of the Simpson United Methodist Church opened their doors to people sleeping on their steps. And I don't think they anticipated that at some point they were going to give us the building and we were going to have to rebuild a shelter there. But, you know, 45 years later, here we are. The shelter has really been purpose-built for the intention of sheltering people. In the past, we were in the basement of a church and it was dark and there were no windows, and everything about this building is different. We have access to natural light from wherever you stand in the building, lots of secure personal spaces. We spent about a year meeting every week with our architect and design team. Everything is intentionally designed with people in mind. We got a lot of input from residents and guests all through the process about how a place that they would want to live. Ultimately, it is a building that has sleeping rooms where we can have 72 people, men, women, and non-binary folks on a nightly basis. And then in addition, knowing that we were going to be building a new shelter, we knew we didn't want to build shelter without housing mm-hmm. as a part of it. And so early on, we partnered with PPL, Project for Pride and Living, and they co-developed with us this site. And so in addition to the 72 units of our 72 shelter beds, we also have 42 permanent supportive housing units that PPL owns and manages on the top two floors of the site. Hmm. We are in the process of filling those. Those are all going to be new units. They're targeting long-term homeless folks, and 30 of the units are going to be designated for people who are experiencing chronic homelessness in our community. So okay. we're taking applications right now. They're all going to be through the coordinated entry process, but we're hoping we're going to be getting some people, unhoused folks, into housing in the next month.
I was wondering about 72 shelter spaces, 42 units of permanent supportive housing. That seems really significant. What is the need like in the area and in Minneapolis? Because in checking with folks that saw a couple of months ago at the county level, both in Ramsey County, Hennepin County, it did seem like folks were concerned about being able to provide shelter for people throughout this winter. And then it has been so cold and there's been so much going on. Do you sense that these spaces are going to fill up fast? And then is there still a need?
Oh, absolutely. Well, our shelter is full year-round, whether it's summer, whether it's winter. Our shelter is always full. We anticipate the housing units are much needed for people at 30% of area median income or lower mm-hmm. Is great. So those are going to fill. We need more buildings like this where there is both place that's low barrier for people to get in off the street, and then long-term housing support for folks. Mm-hmm. I know in terms of the cold weather, the county, Hennepin County, has really stepped in to add more shelter beds this winter. And I know they've added 133 shelter beds this winter, and those are full.
All right, Wendy, thank you so much for your work and sharing it with us on Minnesota Now.
Really appreciate you having us on. Thank you.
Wendy Wiegman is Associate Director of Simpson Housing Services in Minneapolis. That is going to do it for us on Minnesota Now. Thank you so much for listening.